Men of Kansas City. Is a baseball cap the most daring accessory you own? That's okay, we understand. But lately we're seeing signs that the menswear scene is becoming a little more adventurous, and interest in fashion may be growing. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we'll meet two local innovators of men's fashion. One makes custom suits for the Sporting KC players, and the other started a new trend with his wooden bow ties. We'll hear what dressing well means to them. Join the conversation after this news. Okay, I'm supposed to start by evening out the two sides, right?
Yes.
So what else do I need to do?
Well, you'll take the smaller end and
the smaller end,
and you'll pull it so that maybe a quarter of it, yes. And then you actually pull it up and over.
Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and he's teaching me how to tie a tie. I think we're doing a Windsor knot, right, Bob?
Yeah, we're going to do a Windsor knot.
I've never worn a tie before. This could be a new look for me, Bob. What do I do next?
Okay, so you pull it up, over, and down.
I'm already way behind. Okay, let's back up. I've got a fourth of the small end pulled underneath the
big end. So now what you want to do, you want to wrap the longer side kind of around, but not completely around, and then up through the gap.
Okay. Is this right so far?
Uh-huh.
This is my husband's tie.
And then pull it down. And for me, I like to kind of form a little bit of a pocket so that the smaller end actually has a dimple.
Whoa. Okay.
So the smaller end has a dimple, and I pinch it between my thumb and forefinger.
I can't believe you do this every day.
Every day. And trust me, it is a struggle every day. And then you wrap around.
No, I can't do it. This is so hard.
And then up again.
This is like a Rubik's
through.
Cube.
And for me, again, I have to play around and make sure that the dimple.
Wait, I did something wrong for sure. Oh, boy. I might need more help after the show.
We'll work after the show.
Yeah. In the interest of resuming the conversation, I'm Gina Kaufman, and today on Central Standard, we're talking about what dressing well means to the men of Kansas City. We have a mayor who not only wears a bow tie, but also calls his email newsletter the bow tie. It's kind of his thing, but is a signature look something that matters to men throughout the city? Let's ask a few experts. Bob Kendrick, who we've just been hearing from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, is with us not just because he can tie a tie. He also spearheads an annual event at Kauffman Stadium called Dress to the Nines Day. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. We've also got a recent Shawnee Mission East graduate who wore a wooden bow tie of his own construction to homecoming. Ever since, his wooden bow ties have been in hot demand through his business Against the Grain Bow Ties. Noah Marsh, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you so much. It is definitely a privilege to be here.
And last but not least, Tom Paolini. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Good to see you again, Gina.
Good to see you, too. Tom is the owner of Paolini Garment Company, specializing in custom-made luxury suits for men. And he's the official clothier for Sporting KC. Did I say clothier right?
That's perfect.
Okay.
Haberdasher, a clothier, I've been called worse.
We're going to hear more of our guests' stories in a minute, but first, I want you each to answer a couple of big questions. To start, what is the purpose of dressing in a certain way? Is it a superficial thing, or is something of real importance going on underneath those decisions we make when we decide what to put on before we walk out the door? Tom, I'll start with you.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it could even come down to general communication is when you're meeting with someone, you want to reflect sometimes their mood. You want to reflect their body language. You'll reflect their tone of voice. I think it goes along with that in clothing is in the business world anyway, I'll speak to. I want to reflect when I was working in the Fortune kind of 100 world, you reflect your client. You show deference to your client by dressing up, respect to them, and it's about time and place. You want to look appropriate for wherever you may be, and whether that's jeans and a t-shirt or a three-piece suit or wearing spectators and a beautiful hat like Bob Kendrick to my right is, that's what you do.
Bob, what do you think?
You know, I think I still adhere to the old adage, look good, feel good. And whatever you believe that you look good in, you feel good about it. One of the things that's so difficult for me, I cannot pick out what I'm going to wear the day before I wear it.
Why not?
Because usually what I wear reflects how I feel that day. Not always, but more times than not. And so it's very difficult for me to pick out something. So some days it's more whimsical. Some days it's more conservative. Some days it's just kind of like very, very playful and that whole nine yards. And so it is extremely difficult, unless I'm traveling and have to be up really early, for me to sit out something and say, I'm going to wear that tomorrow. So I'll spend a half hour some days in the closet just kind of trying to figure out how I'm going to mix and match what it is that day, how I feel in that whole nine yards. And so I do think it is that old adage, though. You look good, you feel good. And again, in my world, I never know who I'm going to meet on any given day. And I think I want my appearance to be reflective of what my organization represents and what I believe that the Negro League Baseball Museum and of course, the Negro Leagues was about fashion and it was about style. So it really just kind of dovetails right into what I do on a daily basis.
Can I just ask you one quick follow-up? You're wearing a tie that has like a, it's not quite paisley. It's got more flourish than paisley, but with that same basic idea. And it's got some bright blues in it and, mm-hmm. and some more subdued grays. And then you've got a pinstripe jacket on.
Yes.
What mood is that reflecting?
That, you know, that was my mood that I was coming to see you today.
Oh.
And so it was a happy mood. It's a happy mood, but it was also, for me, I think, trying to balance a true business style with a little bit of flair. And so, you know, the basic blue pinstripe suit is very business oriented. But, you know, again, as Tom mentioned, added the dimension of a spectator like shoe. And then the tie is a little bit more bolder to kind of give it a little bit of flair, you know, without being too brash. But, you know, I think that was kind of the mindset this morning.
Well, well played, Bob. Noah, what are your thoughts?
Similar to what Tom and Bob said, is fashion to me is as close to a physical personality, I think, that people can get. And so, as Bob was saying, is I often find this to be an issue too, is I can't really pick out an outfit I'm going to wear ahead of time the day before or a couple days before, just because my personality and my mood that day will definitely change. I don't know how I'll be feeling. And so I believe that that is a very, very powerful thing that fashion can do with someone, is it is the first sign of expression. It's the first thing people see on you too. And so it just, you want it to reflect your personality as much as possible. And so I believe that's what these gentlemen here and me myself too try to accomplish with what we try to wear.
Well, I hear that we're already getting tweets from the men of Kansas City who are sending us photos to let us know that they, in fact, do dress well. If you'd like to join that conversation, that's at KCURCST on Twitter. Our culture does sometimes, I think, pretend that men don't think about fashion or clothing, but you have to make certain decisions just to leave your house with clothes on. Clothes don't buy themselves. They don't pick themselves out. So obviously, you think about it at least a little, if only to appear to have not thought about it. What would you say is the reality of how men relate to fashion? Noah?
How men relate to fashion? It's definitely a culture that it's definitely more popularized with women, definitely, nowadays. But I definitely think it is growing. I think more and more men are getting into this sense of fashion and expressing themselves, because what I've seen is I've just seen a lot of men dressing very conservatively. Okay, they look sharp, they look nice, they look well-dressed, except there's no accent or flair, as Bob was saying, especially with the floral tie he's wearing. And that's what I would encourage mostly, is just a lot of accenting and a lot of confidence in what you wear, just because that correlates with your personality. And if you have a confident personality and you own what you're wearing, especially if you're on some edgier accents or more flair in your attire, I think that that's wonderful. And hopefully we can see more and more of that as the years progress.
Bob, the reality of how men relate to fashion?
I think the fashion sense is improving among men. Men in general don't like to shop. You know, so I think so oftentimes they relied on their wives or significant others to pick out what they wear. I've never been that person. I really enjoy picking out my own stuff and mixing and matching and challenging myself to come up with the look that I like. And sometimes I guess the greatest compliment that I can receive, the question will be, oh, man, your wife must pick that out for you. You know, no, she didn't pick it out for me. I picked it out for myself. But I think they're trying, you know, that's their way
they're
of saying
to say you look good.
That, yeah, they like what you picked out. And so, but again, I think fashion is about feeling comfortable with who you are. And you know, it's not whether it's a West Coast or an East Coast kind of thing. And obviously, we're here in the heart of America in the Midwest. So I think we see kind of a melding of the two coasts in terms of style, per se. And so
what do you mean by that? What are some style elements that you see on each coast here?
You know, the East Coast brings its own flavor, so to speak. West Coast is a little bit more relaxed kind of fashion, unless you're moving into the Hollywood scene where it gets to be a little bit more glamorous and that kind of thing. And
I'm probably not moving into that.
And neither am I. Closest thing with me was for our red carpet celebration of the film 42. And that was, you know, which was incredible itself. But so I think what we see here is a little bit of influence from both sides, both Los Angeles and New York, and probably even Chicago from that standpoint, which again, from a fashion scene, probably has a greater reputation than Kansas City does. But that being said, I think Kansas City offers you an interesting mix of options to create your style, you know, and the luxury that I have or had, particularly traveling with the very dapper Buck O'Neill for so many years, is that we found these haberdasheries in different cities across the country. So there was a hat store in Cleveland. There was a shoe store in Atlanta or Houston. We found ties and shirts at a place in D.C. And so now you're able to incorporate these things into what you're also able to acquire here at home. And it kind of helps you form your own look in some respects.
Tom?
Well, geography certainly affects it. I mean, where we are in Kansas City, we're relatively conservative. I would say, you know, to answer your question, how men relate to it, is it's adapting, it's evolving, and it's coming around. I would say it was maybe 5-10 years ago, the lowest common denominator. A lot of guys didn't want to stand out. And, you know, it. And I joked early on when I was selling suits, when a guy would come in, is what shade of gray suit do you want? It's you also have to kind of reflect where you are in the market and things like that. But Kansas City, I think, has grown in that area. And gentlemen are definitely, you know, wanting to be more stylish, wanting to change their appearance. As Noah said, have it reflect your personality a little bit more. And that was... I don't want to suppressed sounds like a strong word, but gentlemen would not want to really show that, right? You want to be serious, taken seriously. Again, I'll speak from a business person standpoint. And you wouldn't want to do anything that has too much flourish, to use your word, or anything that's going to call too much attention to yourself. So I think it's definitely adapting. And I think, you know, men are definitely coming around and embracing the fact that they can dress up now.
How would you evaluate men's fashion in Kansas City right now, Tom?
Well, it's something that we're still working on. I look forward to the day where I'm wearing a suit and I don't get a compliment on it because I'm one in 100 guys, A, wearing a suit, or if I am, I'm 1 in 100 guys wearing a, like I am today, a pearl gray suit with a blue window pane on it, that I don't stand out as much. Because right now it is, you're more the exception. And that, again, that's changing as gentlemen
see. What are the signs of it changing? What do you see that tells you that?
Some of it is just, you know, having been in the business myself, seeing my business grow and seeing what the gentlemen and the clientele are drawn to from different fabrics. They're moving away from the solids. They're moving towards the plaids, and they're moving towards different color stories and things that I would never have thought they would have done 5-6 years ago. They're definitely embracing that now. So it's also a reflection of the stores that we have, and there's more of them, and there's more access.
What would your two evaluations be, Bob?
Well, I think – And style is so interesting because it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in a suit. You know, you can create a style and a look. I actually love what Noah's doing with the linen and those kinds of things.
He's got a pale yellow linen shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the Polo logo there.
It is.
And some vertical stripes in other pale colors, a nice light blue. And then he's got on, of course, his wooden bow tie. The wood color is very similar to the color in the Polo logo. Was that intentional?
It happened to come across that way. It's not intentional, but that's the shade of mahogany for you.
Because I think even in a casual environment, there can still be a sense of style. You know, obviously in Tom and I's world, it's about the suit, you know, and about how we put that together. And for me, as I've gotten older, you know, and worked longer, you know, we were talking about the fact that custom suits are things that, you know, I treat myself to every now and then. I wish I could say I could afford to just buy everything custom, but I can't. But I think in his world, custom suits are becoming a lot more affordable than ever before. And I can tell you now, there is nothing like wearing something that has been tailored for your body specifically.
But I want to quickly get back. I do want to get back to that. But this question of how we evaluate men's fashion in Kansas City right now.
It's getting better.
That's two for two.
I think guys are stepping up their game a little bit more. They're paying more attention to detail. I think they want to look good. And again, that might span the gamut in terms of what that might mean, whether it is from a very casual standpoint or to a more dressier standpoint. But I do think they are putting an increased focus on wanting to look good.
Noah?
My evaluation, and this is coming from a high school grad a bit younger than Bob and Tom, is there's just such a mix. It's increasing, as the rest of these two have said. And from my perspective, is there's this younger, preppier look that is coming up onto the scene, and it's merging with just other senses of fashion that already exist in the city, such as the suits.
Like preppy. Historically, we've associated maybe with conservative, and you're saying that preppy is kind of loosening its collar?
I'd say, exactly. I'd say a preppy flair, actually, because there are a lot of more lighter shades of colors, as you said, the outfit I am wearing. And I just think it kind of speaks for the city itself because it's so unique. I mean, off the top of my head, I can only really think of Kansas City being the only city split between two states. And so that offers a lot of demographic, a lot of different backgrounds of just people in general, and that offers a lot of ideas and a lot of growth and just a lot of different opinions in the fashion realm. And so that means it's just constantly changing and is very dynamic. So I think it's changing, and it's definitely changing for the better.
Call 816-235-2888 to share your observations about how men dress in Kansas City. Are there trends in other places that the men of Kansas City should adopt? Do we have something unique going on? And if you are a man of Kansas City, what does dressing well mean to you? 816-235-2888. Tom Paolini, how did you get into the custom suit making business?
Well, it was in the family, actually, for a bit. Great-grandfather was a tailor in the Bronx. He made custom suits and did alterations and all that. Grandfather worked in the garment district in New York. Although my dad wasn't in the business, he was a very well-dressed, dapper man. And definitely influenced a bit of how I dress as well, and a small business owner. It took me some time. I always was interested in dressing well. I eventually went and got a made-to-measure suit for me. And after that, I made the career change. It really affected me strongly.
To have that first custom suit?
Without a doubt. There's a quote, and I don't think it's just the custom suit lobby that says this is, every man at one point in his life should own a custom garment. Mm-hmm. And it's a different experience, and it's one of those things that you can't really share until you go through it. It obviously affected me significantly, and then I went through the Kaufman Fast Track program and put a technology business together.
I know you just kind of said that you can't quite share it until someone's been through it, but were there specific sensations or like moments in the experience of getting that first custom suit where you were just like, I haven't been living until this moment?
Well, there is no question your posture changes. It's something where I think fascination would be the best word with it. I wanted to know more about it, and the custom clothing experience is about education and enlightening a client to it. It's not just about luxury, and you know, certainly there's some price points, but as Bob said earlier, there's a lot of different places that you can go get a custom suit of different varying levels of quality and this and that. But it was really that. It was the fascination with the process and the way the anticipation of how you felt before you even tried it on. It obviously was a big experience for me.
Yeah, and when it's something about the fact that you get to go pick out your own fabric. You pick the fabric out. They're measuring you to your exact measurements, and then this piece is going to come back, and it is fitted just for your specifications. And Gina DeFert, when you put it on, as young people say, it feels like butter. You know? It's just nothing like it. And I do think your confidence level increases and that kind of thing, but it's made expressly for you. And the chances are you're not going to see anybody else wearing what you have. You know, it's a possibility, but very unlikely. And again, to think back in the days of the Negro Leagues, virtually everything was custom.
Tom, when a man walks through the door for a first appointment with you, how do you help him figure out what kind of suit he will love? Does he typically already know that and that's why he's coming to you, or just we're starting from square one?
Well, you know, in a positive way, I've got to profile them. I look at how they're dressed coming in. I mean, that's going to be step one, because if both that person and myself think that we want to change what their image currently is, it'll give me an idea of how far we have to go and how much I might be able to push on the fashion spectrum them out of their comfort zone a little bit. So yeah, it's a matter of understanding what they do for a living, first and foremost, where they're going to wear it. Is it for a major event? Is it for a wedding? Is it for, is it for a business merger acquisition? Is it for, what is it for? And then I try to work from there and really just understand them and their personality, because that's part of what I want to inject into the garment that they're going to wear. It's not just me creating it in a vacuum and saying, here's what you should be wearing. It's really got to be a collaborative effort to design it.
When did designing clothing for the Sporting KC players become one of your projects?
Well, that was relatively early on. I want to say it was around 5 years ago now. Literally, I got season tickets to Sporting. I take a small amount of pride in saying that I had season tickets to the Wizards before they moved. Me and about 18 other people did, and over at Community America. But I went to a reception that they had, and Sporting Kansas City, first of all, has been fantastic to me. Great organization. I would say that whether I was clothing them or not, it's just a class organization that a lot of other ones try to emulate. But I met one of the people at Sporting Kansas City, and Andrew Steinberg, and he said they were looking at making custom suits for the team, and that's where it started.
Having athletes appear in public dressing very deliberately and in something other than athletic attire, do you think that says something about a changing idea of what's mainstream in men's style?
A little bit. I mean, there's no question that celebrities and athletes and pop culture affects how people dress. I mean, you can go way back to one of the early kings that started getting big. He couldn't fit into his vest, and he had to leave the bottom one open. And that's what everybody started doing after that. But athletes, they look great in a suit, and a lot of people want to emulate that, and that helps.
Central Standard's off to a short break. When we return, we'll talk about Dress to the Nines Day at Kauffman Stadium. No relation, and we'll take your calls. I'm Gina Kauffman. Don't go away. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kauffman, and we're talking about men's fashion in Kansas City. You can call 816-235-2888 to tell us what you've noticed about trends here in town. And if you're a man, we want to know what getting dressed means to you. Do your decisions say something about how you relate to the world? We're going to be taking those calls very shortly. But first, our guests are Tom Paolini of Paolini Garment Company, Noah Marsh of Against the Grain Bowties, and Bob Kendrick of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Bob, you run Dress to the Nines Day, which has become an annual event at Kauffman Stadium. Explain what inspired it.
Well, you know, Gina, I wish I could sit here and tell you that it was my idea to start Dress to the Nines because it was such a great idea. And every now and then one comes along and you just want to claim it. But if I did, I'd be lying. And I don't want to lie to you.
And I can't let you do that anyway. It's my job to not let you do that.
Actually, it was the brainchild of three young kids who came to me and said, we want to see if we could get baseball fans to dress up the way they used to leaving Monarch games. Would you join us in this effort? I just thought it was an incredible idea. And so I got involved with them, and this thing has just taken off. We call it Dress to the Nines. It's a symbolic tribute to the Negro Leagues because the Negro Leagues, of course, was operating during an era of dress. Everybody looked good. No matter where you went, you looked good. If your great-grandmother went to the store, she was going to get dressed up. She's going to put her gloves on. So everybody looked good. But at baseball games, particularly on Sundays, because Major League Baseball didn't play as often on Sundays, the Negro Leagues would rent the ballpark, play that Sunday doubleheader. We left church going straight to the ballpark looking good. Dressed to the nines, as they would say. And so this is kind of a symbolic tribute to that, but actually giving the fans an opportunity to participate.
Has it surprised you, the enthusiasm? I mean, people technically could dress up and go to the ballpark any day they wanted to, but this one day when you actively invite them, all the enthusiasm, are you surprised?
You know, I was, I don't know if I was surprised. I thought we had the making of something that would be big. I wasn't sure how people would react. But I think by creating it as an event, you know, just not just the regular old baseball game, but now creating an event served as that impetus to encourage people to do it.
I think people were a little skeptical. Gives people permission a little bit?
I think in some ways it actually does, because I think what I've seen, the women look for a reason to dress up anyway. So we've given them a reason to dress up, and the women go all the way vintage. They've got the gloves, they've got the hats, the whole nine yards. We're getting the men to be more comfortable in doing it as well and being in a ballpark environment. And the Royals have just been absolutely a tremendous partner in helping us promote it. And we've seen this thing grow from a few hundred people to several thousand people dressed up, and we think we've got the making of something that's going to be only get bigger and better, you know, over the next several years.
What sorts of things do Kansas City men wear on Dress to the Nines Day that you wouldn't typically see around town?
Well, you see a lot of hats. You see a lot of hats, because I think most people can relate the fact that the men of that era, they, no matter what, you wore your hat. So you see a lot of hats in the stands, and so that's very cool to see all the men sporting their hats. Of course, last year the Royals gave away 10,000 little miniature fedoras. This year was a newsboy cap, so you know everybody's sporting some kind of headwear of some sort that's not a baseball cap, you know, and that's kind of nice to see. And the women, of course, in their hats, and so everybody's out there looking good.
When we think about the history of Negro Leagues baseball, that's obviously connected to race history in the United States and a history of racial segregation, which gets me wondering if we're also talking about how style differs from one community to another, or whether there are cultural differences in what people consider dressed up.
Perhaps to some extent, because a kid could come here, Buck O'Neill would say, a kid could come to Kansas City to play for the Monarchs. He could have came from the cotton fields of Georgia or the textile mills of South Carolina. And the first thing that they were going to do, Tom, was they were going to take him to see the tailor at 18th and Vine. He was going to make him two suits. He hadn't gotten paid yet. He would sign for those two suits. And he got his first check from the Monarchs. He would then go back and pay the tailor. So everybody was wearing custom. But you're right. In the African-American community, I think fashion took on an increased perspective, so to speak, because during that era, it was a difficult time socially. So when you stepped out into public, You wanted people to know that you weren't a second-class citizen. So you saw people dress. So when they went to church, they were dressed, always dressed. And I think that was, for some aspects, passed down generationally. And then all of a sudden, we got this gap in it. So, people don't dress as much going to church as they did. Church has gotten a little bit more casual, although still, for the most part, in the African-American community, you still dress to go to church. And so that whole challenge of putting stuff together and making yourself feel good and look good, I think, played a very prevalent role in that style of that era, particularly in the African-American community.
Let's talk to some of our callers about this and more at 816-235-2888. We've got Tamar from Kansas City on the line. Hi, Tamar.
Hi. This is a great topic. I was going to speak that my dad, he was born in 1924, and he was so tall, and he was African-American, that he had to have his suits tailored, and it wasn't expensive then. And then, off the rack came. But I think that young men get a lot of their style from watching television, and like Steve Harvey's got a line of suits now. So those that are a little, intimidated about it may have a little bit more confidence. But I love the hats, because guys used to wear all the colors back in the 70s with all the beautiful shirts, and now they're coming back to wear. They're looking like peacocks again. And I
think that peacock reference is funny. Well, thanks, Tamar. Thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Tom Paolini, what do you think about those comments, the idea that maybe television influences style and might be giving some new cues these days?
Well, without a doubt. I've seen, Steve Harvey looks good. Mm-hmm. There's so many. If you're on TV, it's a given, right? You probably look good, but I will say the ones that influenced it, the first one that comes to my mind is Mad Men, for two reasons. Obviously, they dressed well. Aside from kind of it was another given in the 20s and 30s, gentlemen really look great. I think the 50s and 60s is definitely an image that I liked. But, and this might be a slight reach, but a lot of the people that were watching that, my wife, who's supported me significantly through this, she comes from the advertising business. A lot of the people in the advertising business probably were the ones that helping with the show ratings. And I don't know if you can connect the dots to that and the hipster movement and things like that.
Well, how would you characterize the hipster movement as someone in the fashion industry, just breaking down what that even means?
Well, you can go back almost 10 years and there was something called metrosexual. And that was used maybe for a year or two. And it was just kind of a slight rib to the guys that would almost put too much effort in how they looked. And God bless those people, because those are the ones that are driving it now. That's not used anymore as far
because
as the
Because that's just normal.
It's normal. It's definitely normal. And I think, I don't know if anyone would admit to themselves that they're a hipster. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that is one of the great things that's happened to fashion, because it's people that not only will wear what they want to wear, but they put effort into it, whether it's the haircut, whether it's the beard, whether it's a tattoo, whether it's whatever, how they're presenting themselves. I think it's fun, and I'm glad that that we've had it.
Noah, what do you think about what you're hearing so far?
I'm on board with all of it. I'm in the same boat as Tom and Bob are, and as we've kind of touched on so far, is there are these different movements in fashion, and especially since the Kansas City community is so unique, since we have so many different backgrounds working together, we have a well-dressed community, these fine clothiers popping up around the city, on top of just this hipster movement, as we said, and just the different backgrounds and the different demographics that the city has to work with just ultimately reflects in fashion. And I think it's awesome, because the fact that we're accepting all these different variants of fashion shows that it's only going to keep changing, and I think, as I said, changing for the better. And that hipster look is, I don't know if it's as trendy as it has been in the past couple of years, but it needs to be said that it has shaped the current fashion scene of Kansas City.
When you hear a term like metrosexual, being the age that you are, that term might have come and gone before you were born, I think. It's possible. I'm not sure. Is it surprising to you to hear that that's something that people would say, just very recently?
I've only heard that term be like used on satirical animated comedies such as Family Guy or something. So I've not seen or used that in a serious scene whatsoever. But since I did not grow up during that era, or at least care about the way I looked, since I was only about 6 years old at the time. I can't really speak so much on that. However, well-dressed men, I mean, I'm seeing them more and more around the city, and that's just
around your high school.
Yes, I actually will say that. However, I mean, there are always going to be well-dressed people here and there, and at my high school, especially, and especially high schoolers around, there's just a very common look, and not many people are using a lot of accessories to accent or, you know, really express themselves with. They're really dressing all the same.
Let's turn to David in Midtown. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
What can you share?
Well, I am, it's appropriate that you guys are talking about ties and bow ties and looking good. I am the founder of Bow Ties and Ties. Youth Leadership Conference is going to take place this Saturday.
Which kind of inspired us here, actually.
Is that right?
It's true.
I'm glad to hear that. The guy you have sitting next to you, Bob Kendrick.
I did.
99.9% of the time, he looks good all the time. I don't know where the 1% comes in, but he's always looking good. But that is the premise of Bow Ties and Ties. We started off wanting to teach young men, 6 to 18, how to tie a tie and or a bow tie. And it's kind of morphed into leadership, table manner, etiquette. But looking good does make you feel good. And more importantly, for young men, it gives you confidence. And this tying of ties I'm learning as I'm going through this process, it is a lifelong skill. It's something that they're going to have to use the rest of their life once they learn how to tie a tie, a bow tie. I know mothers that know how to tie ties for their sons, and some of the guys don't know how to tie ties. So this is a very, very important skill, I think, for young men to know how to tie a tie or a bow tie and look good.
Do you think it's like,
you will feel good.
Do you think it's a gatekeeping kind of knowledge? I mean, that ability to tie a tie could make the difference between whether you're sort of given access to certain opportunities?
Absolutely. It's no doubt in our society that people look at you first and then they hear what you say second. So if I walk in, I can walk in a store and be dressed to the nines, and you just get a different reception than if I'm in, you know, some dressed down clothes. People look at you a little differently.
Let's I wanted to just thank you for calling. I want to get some of our guests responding on this. Tom Paolini, what do you think of what you're hearing?
I think it's echoing what we've been talking about earlier. It changes your countenance. It changes how you carry yourself. You know, we also did something with Restart and built a men's wardrobe for them. So the gentlemen that were clients at Restart, which is a homeless shelter downtown off of 9th and Troost, I think it is, they need to go and get back into the workforce, and they don't have anything. So from the generosity of my clientele and people that have just donated suits, they could go into the men's wardrobe, pick something out when they have a confirmed interview, and use that to go get a job. When you see that, it's more than just about clothes and, you know, some of the other parts of it. I mean, that's a meaningful impact that clothing truly has. And you could see the difference in the photos of how they react and how they look.
Bob, I know you're going to have to leave for a second. And I happen to know that you have something to tell us about men's footwear in Kansas City. So I'd just like to give you the chance to do that before you have to go.
Well, and just to echo the point and what David and Tom just mentioned, it's about social skills as well. And passing down from generation to generation. Your father teaches you how to tie your tie. Now you're going to teach your son how to tie a tie. And it just keeps passing itself down. Well, you know, I think for me, people have asked me what, you know, some of my fashion tips or what I think men should focus on when they get dressed. And a lot of men are doing a great job now of working from neck down, but they disregard the shoes. And the shoes are very, very important to completing the outfit.
What are some forms that disregarding the shoes takes?
Well, I don't think they put a whole lot of attention into the shoes. So you got all of a sudden, Tom has hooked you up with this beautiful suit, and yet you're going back into your closet and you got some old beat up shoes and the heels are all kind of worn and they're not right. It just kills everything. So men, put a little bit extra care into picking out your shoes. And I'm not saying you got to go spend hundreds of dollars to buy shoes, but make sure they're polished, make sure that, you know, the heel is not damaged and that it's not rolled over and that kind of thing, because it really does complete the entire ensemble. And I just think that that's probably one of the areas that a lot of men don't focus on. So you're going to go see Tom. Tom's going to get you. He's going to get you together. He's got you from your head down too, but you got to take care of the foot side of it too. And that would be one of the things that I would certainly ask guys to pay a little bit more attention to the shoe game. And of course, now the sock game is becoming important as well. So
in what way?
I think what we're seeing now is a lot of attention on socks, and maybe it has to do with the more tapered style that has become so popular now. So the pants. Yeah, the pants are worn a little bit higher, so the sock is seen quite a lot more probably than my old style, you know. And so the sock is becoming a big part of that, and the sock is a personality kind of thing. People are speaking through the socks now as well. And so, you know, you got all these little intricacies that certainly has an impact, on both fashion and style.
Well, Bob, I know you have some place to be, so I'm going to say goodbye to you now. Thanks so much for being here.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Bob Kendrick has joined us from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Central Standard will return to this conversation on menswear and its meanings here in Kansas City. There's still time to get your 2 cents in. 235-2888. That's an 816 area code. When we return, the story of Noah Marsh and his wooden bow ties, coming right up. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and you are listening to Central Standard. Today's topic is men's fashion. And just to be fair to the men of Kansas City, I should say that I probably have little to no business questioning the fashion sensibilities of others, for whatever that's worth. Our guests are custom suit designer Tom Paolini and Noah Marsh of Against the Grain Bow Ties. Noah, tell me your story. What gave you the idea to wear a wooden bow tie in the first place?
The first wooden bow tie I made and wore it, I made it in wood shop, and because I've been a wood student for 4 years. Some kids take art, some take choir. I use wood shop as my artistic outlet. And so I wore it to junior homecoming just to reflect a passion of mine. It was a hobby and a passion of mine to be a woodworker, and I decided to represent it one day. And the feedback I got, not only just from the students I was with, but the parents too. And I'm thankful that I had a very cooperative date that allowed me to wear such attire. But how I got started with the Against the Grain bow tie scene is I was not a sixth grader, and while people were writing down what they're going to be in the future, like firefighters or superhero, I didn't write down a bow tie maker. I kind of fell into this scene just because it was a passion, a hobby of mine that kind of reflected how I wanted to dress, because I owe how I dress to both of my parents, really. My dad works in sales, and so first impressions are quite big in that regard. And so he's always had his own professional sense of fashion. And then I believe the flair I definitely owe to my mom a little bit here and there. And so with both of those, I both owe them. They have shaped my style, essentially, very, very well.
Who are your customers? Are they local?
Half of my customers, I would say half of them, if not 60% of them, are local. But other than that, there are actually wooden bow ties in 38 out of 50 states in the U.S.
Cool. Well, looking at your own age group and thinking about how your parents inspired you, what would you say are the men's fashion ideas that are just now emerging as sort of mainstream here in town that maybe would differ from your father's generation?
I definitely believe that in my father's generation, it was more professional. And Tom, you mentioned what shade of gray suit would you wear? I mean, it's easy, and everyone looks good in a gray suit and everything. But now that fashion's slowly becoming more and more popular, especially with men's fashion, people want to stand out and they want to look a bit different. And so style in that regard, I believe when Bob was still here, he mentioned a bit of flair, and he likes to add flair with his business attire. And I think we're seeing more and more people wanting to stand out and be unique and really reflect their personality or their mood that day. And so with this movement of men's fashion going in that direction, I think it's overwhelmingly positive. And I'm very thankful to be on the brink of such a dynamically changing fashion culture in a city such as Kansas City.
Let's talk to Blaine in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Blaine.
Good morning.
What's your story?
Well, I just had a comment about something that had been said earlier about how men's fashion on the coast sometimes is different than what it is here. I tend to have my own style. I won't say whether it's good or bad, but I one of the things that I really enjoy wearing during the summer is a blue seersucker suit, which whenever I wear it, regardless of where I wear it, I get comments on it, and you know, mostly compliments. But when I've spent quite a bit of time, like in D.C. and places like that, and particularly Washington D.C. during the summer, a seersucker suit is really a common suit to see. You see them everywhere, and I guess it was just a comment on, like I said, the difference between the Midwest and the coast.
So it attracts a lot of attention here, and it's just no big whoop out there.
Exactly.
What do you think about that, Tom?
It's true. I mean, the seersucker, I'm waiting. I'm getting my seersucker jacket in tomorrow, I think. Seersucker, it's just got a unique look and feel to it. It's called milk and sugar is what it was interpreted from, is what seersucker means.
Interesting.
It's the Southern gentleman. I mean, you're going to, you know, that's what they wear. It's not that uncommon, and it's a great reflection. But again, it's not as prevalent out here, so you will stand out. And
while we're talking about D.C. and Kansas City, there's a relative of mine last night told me that while traveling for business, he had noticed that while Kansas City is not, in his estimation, a big cufflink town, he says that D.C. cufflinks are very important. Is there a cufflink distinction that Kansas City is on one side of?
I wear cufflinks. If I'm wearing a suit, I'm wearing some right now, actually, my Paul Smith striped taxicab cufflinks. But Kansas City, again, you don't see it as much, and I don't want to harp on this because we are changing, but it's been a conservative, type fashion for men, and they don't want to be showy. They don't want to be ostentatious. There's this, you know, idea that if they're wearing that, they're calling attention to themselves too much. But we certainly have come around. I wear cufflinks 95% of the time if I'm wearing a suit. So
let's move on and talk to Tom, who is driving to Liberty, though hopefully pulled over. Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
How's it going?
I wanted to say that I purchased my first custom suit when I was in high school. I bought it from Hong Kong Tailors. It was a three-piece suit. It had actual working buttons on the sleeves. I wore bow ties my entire working career, and the way I dressed added immeasurably to my confidence. The style that I exhibited added to my promotion ability. The comment about cufflinks, with that first custom suit, I always wore French cuff shirts and cufflinks, and they're a wonderful way to exhibit your personality.
So is the cufflink kind of a place for flair? I mean, I just hadn't even realized. I know nothing about cufflinks.
Oh, absolutely. You can find cufflinks. I had one set when I was involved in theater that were sterling silver comedy and tragedy masks. I had other cufflinks when I was in banking that were gold. All these things add to your look. For going out in the evening, a silk square in your breast pocket.
Let's let Tom Paolini respond to this.
Well, first of all, Tom, we love people like you. I haven't even met you, but I love you already. I love hearing that. With cufflinks also, there's a significant amount of sentimentality towards it, because I talk to any client and I guarantee they have cufflinks either from their grandfather or from their father, and it means a lot to wear them, and it does make you feel a little bit different. Gentlemen don't wear a lot of jewelry by nature. It's a small area that we can wear that and reflect a little bit. I mean, I have ties, I have jackets, I have all kinds of things. I have an ascot for my dad, but I'm not ready to bring the ascot back yet. So, soon.
We have a hairdresser who called and couldn't stay on the line, but wanted to say that the revived interest in barbering and getting vintage dos has got men more interested in their look overall. Is Noah, you have a nice haircut. Would you say that you have an interest in barbering?
I would definitely say I do, and in fact, this is relatively fresh haircut. I just got it yesterday, and there are different, I believe, since men are feeling more confident about expressing themselves, I definitely think that hair, I mean, that's a part of fashion as much as clothes are, and so people are being more expressive in that regard as opposed to just, you know, keeping it short and always business professional. Granted, I'm wearing a relatively short haircut right now just because it's summer, but it's definitely becoming more and more expressive, like with people definitely getting haircuts on the sides and keeping the top. That seems to be a very popular haircut that people are getting. I tried to get a similar haircut as with that style.
Just hint at that a little.
Yeah, hinted at that, and I kept it short because I wanted to keep it a bit more professional. But in general, that is the fashion and hair and the way that men are dressing themselves is on the rise, and men are using their haircut to express themselves definitely a lot more now than normal.
On our way out, just quickly, Tom, is there a word of caution as people break out of their mold?
Just tailor your clothing. I don't care if you got it from a vintage store for $100 or you spent $5,000. If it does not look like it fits you, it's not doing you any justice. So tailor your clothing.
That's all the time we have for today. This has been fun, guys. Tom Paolini of Paolini Garment Company, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day.
Gina, thanks so much. Good to see you again.
You too. And Noah Marsh of Against the Grain Bow Ties, good luck.
Thank you so much, Gina.
What's next for you, college or something else?
I'm going up to Des Moines, Iowa. Drake University is where I'm off to. So,
well, all right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll have this conversation up online later today. You can find it and share it at kcur.org/centralstandard. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there. Tomorrow, a food show. Critics sharing their favorite happy hour spots just in time for summer. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date.